Amen. Hallelujah.
Remember a while ago we talked about exposing the goat and the sheep. That will continue and increase until the day the Lord returns. Or even more so, when He returns. You know, there is a move in the Spirit right now that there is a granting and increasing of God saying, please repent, please repent, please repent, please repent. And the reason for that is so that the washing of the blood can be released and the Spirit can move. The one thing that we want the Lord to have is every access of our life, not just a little. He wants all of us, not just when we want to give it to Him, but in everything. You know, and you know, I've had dreams recently. Well, about every single night I've been remembering dreams, just about. And for the last three nights I've had some wild dreams. And one of the things that the Lord has been sharing with me is keep digging. I'm not going to go into great detail. Keep digging. In other words, keep digging into the Spirit. Keep digging, no matter what. No matter what's going on in your life, keep digging. And keep going towards the Spirit. Keep going in. Don't let anything hinder you. Share with me, storms are coming. Now this is before we just got hit with a storm. And there's going to be storms coming. And these storms are going to try and push you out of position. But the one thing that we must do is be steadfast. Keep digging. I've had dreams and I was digging in them and I kept saying, Lord, what am I doing? He says, you're digging. What am I digging for? And then He explained to me a couple of things about breaches in the body of Christ and things that need to be healed. And then I had another dream about some other stuff going on and He put me in another digging arena and He said, keep digging. And I saw a river of oil that we haven't hit yet. And He said, keep digging. And He said to me, a storm's coming and so forth. And I said, well, what do I do? He said, keep digging. Amen. While you're digging, the storm's going to, your digging is going to protect you so that the storm can come over and it won't hinder you. And it will shelter you as you're digging. And then when it's time to come up, you'll come up. See, this is happening in the body of Christ. The problem is people who are not getting the information they need during their prayer time are going to be hit by the storms. Does everybody get it? So this is why you and I must go to prayer. We must, that's where it's important, a relationship. You know, one of the things the devil is going to try and tempt everyone in this room, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, we know that. He's going to try and tempt us in our past. Hello? He's going to try and bring your past into the present. He's going to try and hinder you with circumstances of our reaping from our past also. Some of us are still financially trying to get out of debt in certain areas of our past, no matter where it is. You know, he who sows shall reap. Some of us are reaping from bad decisions that we've made. But God is allowing these circumstances in your life so that He can mold you. He wants to still check your heart and my heart on a daily basis. Where do you stand before the Lord? That's the most important thing. I got to share something very important with you. God is preparing your eternal life. Let me share this. There are times in your present life that He's going to allow you to go through such stuff that you would not realize, that you would say, how can God allow me to go through this? But you know what it is? He's going to allow you to go through it because He's still trying to prepare you for your eternal life. Because what's going on in your life now is going to affect you eternally. Has everybody got it? So you know what? There's times in your life when you might think, God, how can you not? Don't you care about what I'm going through? And you know what He's saying? No. I'm not concerned about your temporary garbage. I want you eternally fit. Hello? Not that He's not involved in everything. Do you understand that? Of course He is. And of course He does care. You know? But He's preparing me and you for an eternal future. That's what it's about. Right now, your life and my life is nothing but training for reigning. That's what it's about. And what you and I do here, that's why the Bible says, build your treasures in heaven. What you're doing right now is affecting your eternal realm. Where you're going to be positioned. What's going on. So your storms of life, hey, no one said life was going to be fair. In fact, there's a teaching I'm going to do one day called Reality of Life. But we're not there yet. But anyways, your storms of life right now have nothing to do with your temporary life. They have everything to do with your eternal life. Has everybody got it? Of course, we're still sowing and reaping, aren't we? Amen. He who sows in a spirit reaps life. Didn't say your spirit, it said the spirit. That means in obedience to God. And he who sows to the flesh reaps what? Corruption. Those are the things that we're still fighting with, aren't we? Some of these things we're still reaping. So what you and I are doing right now in our temporary realm is going to affect us eternally. Amen? Amen. So there's things going on. You know, there's things that are happening. And we can't just negate things of our life and get into the negative area where, oh God, you've left me. Oh God, you know, you want me to be obedient and tithe, but you know, I've got all of this stuff going on. No, these are trials and tribulations to prepare you eternally. He must mold your heart and my heart so he can trust us and use us. That's what it's about. You know, the last few teachings we've talked about has been about totally committed and all kinds of other stuff that God is just preparing. He's cleaning. I'm telling you, he's moving greatly. He's ripping hearts of his children open and exposing their hearts to themselves. There's things that you're going to be confessing that you didn't even realize was there. And you go, man, why did I say that? Because it's a seed in you that God allowed to expose. You can't just shrug that seed off. You must get rid of it. Amen? Turn to Proverbs 11, please. Hallelujah. Keep on digging. Dig till you can't dig no more. Proverbs 11 and verse 23. Would you read it with me? The desire of the righteous is only good. It didn't say sometimes. It's only good. The direction is only good. Right? But the expectation of the wicked is what? Wrath. There is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right. But it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made what? Rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. Praise God. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be a servant to the wise of heart. Come on, everybody read this now. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Say that again. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Wow, that's powerful. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner. Now I want to go back to verse 30 where it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Check that out, man. Now, I mean, let that get in your spirit. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Do you know that your fruit are supposed to be trees of life? Because you and I are trees of life. Your fruit are to be trees of life. People should be wanting to eat of your fruit, your tree. Check this out again. The what? The fruit of the righteous. Say it again. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Wow. So we're either going to be a tree of life or what? Tree of death. Hello? Your fruit's either going to help or it's going to destroy. Amen? Go to Isaiah 61. The name of the teaching is Tree of Life. Just to let you know. I guess maybe we ought to say Trees of Life, right? Trees of Life. Praise God. Isaiah 61. Oh, to God be the glory. Now the Bible says that the flesh profits nothing, but the Spirit gives life. Amen? So we know that we have to have fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit for us to bear fruits, right? Hallelujah. In verse 1 it says what? The Spirit of the Lord is of God. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Forgive me. Because the Lord has what? Anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So understand, the Spirit of the Lord was given to me and you, right? So that we would be called trees of righteousness. This planting was already pre-designed by the Lord for me and you. Has everybody got it? Now, let's go to Galatians so you can see what the fruits of the Spirit are. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Glory to God. So the Lord wants us to be what? Trees of righteousness, representing the tree of life, right? In verse 22, would you read it with me? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Got it? Passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, I had a gentleman today mention to me about the fruit of the Spirit. He wanted to know. And the reason why he was mentioning the fruit of the Spirit because he wasn't willing to receive correction. In other words, when we get corrected by the Lord in some way or another, we're wondering, well, where's the fruit of the Spirit? But that is the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Does everybody understand that? The Bible says that God chastens those He loves, doesn't He? Right? He chastens those He loves. Well, if God chastens those He loves, then it is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Amen. Chastening is a fruit of the Spirit of God. But just because it's not mentioned here doesn't mean that chastening is not a fruit of God's Spirit.
Amen.
He brings His counsel, correction, and direction.
Amen.
So many people get upset when they're corrected.
Amen.
And the reason is they're still holding on to self. They want to protect oneself. Hello? So the fruit of the Spirit is also chastening. God wants to correct us, doesn't He? Amen? But it's got to be done in love. Not in manipulation. And you better be doing what you're trying to correct someone on. Because if you're not doing it, then God's going to judge you. Hello? God's going to judge you. So you can't tell someone to go do something if you ain't doing it yourself. That's where the Lord says, take the National Grand Forest out of your own eye. And there's nothing wrong. The Lord did not tell us to judge one another. We're judging fruits, aren't we? Because we're judging fruits for our protection. He said, but first, take the plank out. In other words, judge yourself first before you judge someone else. Amen? So understand that the Spirit of the Lord, even chastening and correction, is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Amen? So these righteous fruits, we want to be known as trees of life.
Amen.
Now, a tree of life gives life, doesn't it?
Amen.
So in every area of your life and my life, we're to be looking at giving life. Has everybody got it? See, we really don't realize it sometimes, you know? You know, the Lord shared with me today, He said, you know, there are things that you're not going to comprehend. There are things that you're not going to understand until you get home. Just do it. just trust me. So we are actually, you know, we're actually a tree of life, giving life. When you lead someone to the Lord and introduce them to the Holy Spirit, what are you doing? You're introducing them to life, aren't you? Now, they may think that they have life until they really meet who is the life giver. Then they realize, man, after my encounter with the Lord, it was like my life was fulfilled. I mean, I didn't even start life. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even start. It was like my relationship with the Lord was like, okay, I'm fulfilled. I mean, you can take me home right now. That's it. It's done and over with. But it's like, no, I want you to live out this life. And I wanted to end it. See, I tried to end it because I hated it. Then I wanted to end it because I loved it. It's like, praise God, take me home. Hallelujah. Mark 8. Mark chapter 8. I don't know if you can understand what I just said. In verse 22. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. Would you read it with me? Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. Now they brought a blind man to Jesus, and they were saying, please touch him. Why? Because they knew he was life. They knew that whatever he touched brought life. So he took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Now here's the first thing the man sees. And he looked up and said, I see men like what?
Trees.
I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Of course, we know that didn't happen. I mean, how could you not tell anyone? Everyone was going to see, right? Even him. Praise God. So the first thing the man saw was men like trees of life. I mean, you know, trees walking around, right? Hallelujah. You know, trees are used symbolically in the Bible in many areas. And if you think about what a tree is used for even today, there are seven major things that trees are used for. One of the things is paper for writing, right? What does that do? It allows language to be transferred to one another, produces books and all kinds of stuff. It helps. One of the things paper does is it puts memory at a standstill, so it cannot be forgotten. Because we forget, don't we? It brings forth things of people's past and experiences. It also brings truth, doesn't it? So truth can be put on paper and distributed to the world in different languages. It produces wood to build, doesn't it? Builds homes, builds churches, builds companies, builds many things, builds roads, builds whatever. And also, wood is produced, trees are used for burning, which produces heat, cooking, and produces light. You know, if you just think about these simple little things, what a tree does. A tree allows shade from the heat. It allows food to be eaten. And it's even used for medicine for the sick. And it produces seed for more trees. Has everybody got it?
Yeah.
So it produces paper, number one, for language. It produces wood for building. It produces burning for heat, cooking, and light. It produces shade from the heat. Food to eat. Medicine for the sick. And seed for more. Everybody got it? Hallelujah. And seed for more. Okay. Two things need to be done to maintain a tree. A tree cannot survive without two major things. What are they? Water and sunlight. Water represents spiritually the Spirit, and sunlight represents the Word. Hallelujah. That's right. So two things are needed to upkeep the tree. Water and sunlight. Water represents the Spirit, and sunlight represents the Word. Would you turn to Matthew 7, please? Praise God. Oh, we're going to be trees bearing fruit.
Amen.
Trees of life. And verse 17. Is everybody there? Matthew 7, 17. Would you read it with me? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Hello. Now you got to understand something. If a tree is drinking some polluted water, can it affect its fruits?
Amen.
Even though it was a good tree.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now let me share this with you there. A good tree bears good fruits, right? Well, what happens if it bears good fruit, but the outside weathering damages it? How many times have you walked by a tree and seen fruit that's been rotted, or a worm got into it, or something affected it, right? Can that happen to us?
Yeah.
Amen. So we know that the outside world affects our fruits. Everybody got it?
Amen.
It affects our fruits. And what you intake will affect the fruit that you're letting out. Amen? Is everybody with me? So, even though it's a good tree and bearing good fruit, the outside world can damage it. Amen? It affects us. Now, a bad tree that produces bad fruit can also produce counterfeit fruit. How many times have you looked at something and you thought, man, this is good, and went to go bite it, and it was disgusting? And you would think that it was a good orange or a good apple, and it was just like, ugh, right? And it looked beautiful. Believe me, my wife has brought some fruit home that looked great, and I went to go bite it, and I spit it out. It wasn't good, right? So there could be counterfeit fruit, can't there? But eventually, even though it may look good, you know it stinks. You know it stinks, man. There's a lot of people claiming to be trees of life, and they're polishing their own fruit. They're polishing up their own fruit. But you know what? There's a bunch of worms in it. You don't even want to eat their fruit, man. You know. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about that the trees of the field will what? Clap their hands. Right? Who's he talking about? Us. We're the trees of the field, aren't we? They'll make a joyful shout. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Psalm 1, in verse 1, would you read it with me? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now this is what's going to happen. So here's the choices that you and I can make. We can either become, in other words, what we intake is going to produce our fruit. Do you ever notice that your fruit may be different one day compared to another? Amen. In fact, the Lord was sharing with me, he said that the integrity of our heart determines on what we accept or reject and what we hear. The integrity of our heart determines on whether we accept or reject what we hear. Ooh. In verse 3, it says, he shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Now listen, just because things don't seem to manifest instantaneously, and that's one of the problems that believers have.
Amen.
They want to drive through, quick me up, grow up instantaneously, a little water and the sponge goes boof. You know? It doesn't work that way. You know, it took a long time for that tree to grow and bear fruit, didn't it? Hello? It doesn't happen instantly. And if you think that you're going to get in a place instantaneously overnight, you're not. God doesn't allow that. I remember when I first was a believer, I was like, man, Lord, these people have been doing this for 20 years, 30 years. And I'm not going to wait that long. I'm still waiting. It's been 10. Hello? There's still things that's in my heart that I want to see done. You know? It's been 10 years. But so be it. You know, as long as we're taking care of what's on our plate right now. That's what you take care of. Don't be worried about tomorrow. Amen? Because the plate might not be there tomorrow anyways. So we see here there are certain things that we want, which determines whether we are going to bear good fruit or bad fruit. The first thing it talks about is what? Godly counsel. Godly counsel, that means that you must seek the Lord.
Amen.
And when you can't hear good, go get counsel. It says, stand in the path of sinners. Don't have fellowship with sinners. The Bible says if your brother's not willing to walk according to the gospel, according to the truth, don't hang with them.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You know? It blows my mind where people are always telling me, well, you know, I know I can rescue them. Well, you know, sometimes what's happening is, it's just like when you and I were out using drugs and doing all kinds of other stuff, people were supporting it. They were trying to give us soulish counsel. Oh, I'll work out. And then we'd utilize them because we knew we could suck them into the soul and get money from them and do whatever, you know. But that's not what it's like if you're truly walking in the Spirit. Because Jesus didn't take no garbage from nobody.
Amen.
He rebuked them.
Amen.
Get behind me. He even told his closest buddy, Peter, get behind me, Satan. What? What are you talking about, Lord? I'm your best friend. You know, I just said I'd die for you. Hey, nobody can get to you but through me. He said, get behind me, Satan. I think that might have hurt his feelings a little bit. Probably shook him up in the soulish realm. Hello? But what was the Lord doing? The Lord wasn't out there to comfort his soul. That wasn't a time for comforting. It was a time for correction and understanding of truth. So there's a time for everything, isn't there? Amen?
Amen.
It wasn't about soulish ministry. It's the ministry of the Spirit. Once the Spirit gets strong, you can overcome the soulish garbage so it can be renewed and renewed. Hallelujah. So it says that we need to get godly counsel. We can't walk in the ways of the sinners, right? And we need to put a guard over our lips. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. We need to put a guard over our tongue. Those three things are very, very important, whether you're going to bear good fruit or bad fruit. Has everybody got it? Anybody say yeah?
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Godly counsel walks upright and guards his tongue. Oh. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Simple teaching tonight. Should be quick. If the Lord wills. But I know he wants to get the truth across. Oh, to God be the glory. Genesis chapter 2. In verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Now believe me, the Lord did not need a gardener. You know what I'm saying? I mean, well, the Lord didn't need someone to labor for him in the garden. He put Adam in there to train him up his way. He put Adam in there. There was a special place so that Adam can have on-the-job training. Because he was the express image and likeness of him. Does everybody got it? Adam was the character of the manifestation of God from spirit to natural. He said, hey, this is me. Now you need to learn my ways. Does everybody got it?
Amen.
He was the first son of God.
Amen.
And he said to him, listen, Adam. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely. He's using trees again. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall what? Surely die. So he gave man a desire, didn't he? Because if he said to him, listen, you can eat of this, but you can't eat of that, that means he gave him a desire and a choice. Those two things he left to Adam. But he wanted to know if he was going to trust his Creator. Man was created with every tree of the garden to eat. Hallelujah. Now, the word eat is representation of enhancement of wanting something, like desire. Is everybody with me? So when you and I are wanting to eat something, we're actually seeking knowledge, we're seeking understanding, we're seeking direction. There's something that we're seeking. It's a spiritually, it's called eating. Is everybody with me? So that's why the Bible says, eat the goodness or the eat of the faithfulness of the Lord. Feed off of His faithfulness. That's what it says. Feed off of His faithfulness. So we're eating the things of the Spirit. So what? We can bear good fruit. So the Lord said to Adam, He said, Adam, if you'll eat this fruit, you'll bear good fruit. If you eat of this tree, these trees right here, you're going to eat, you're going to bear good fruit. But if you eat of this tree, Adam, you're going to die. That tree's going to kill you. It's real simple. Hello? And isn't that a part of everything right now? Amen. Look at the way people eat. It affects their health, doesn't it? What we eat right now, either spiritually or physically, is going to affect us. What we see, what we hear, what we receive, that's a part of eating, isn't it? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Genesis 3. In verse 22. Now we know that Eve had a discussion with the serpent, and he convinced her to eat of his counterfeit fruit. Right? Because it was actually rotten. And so because they ate of it, they were going to get judgment, weren't they? And in verse 22 it says, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. There's something very important here. We see then that sin did not kill Adam, did it? What sin did was prevented Adam from getting to the what? Tree of life. Because the Lord said, listen, we need to get him out of the garden because he's going to live that way forever. He's going to live that way forever, so we must remove him from getting access to the tree of life. So sin prevents us from getting to the tree of life. Do you understand that? It's what blocks us from eating the right fruit. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you got to understand something very importantly. That's what was maintaining Adam's immortality. Was eating from the tree of life. See, because Adam was created as an eternal being. Wasn't he? And he was put in a natural realm, which he was bound by space and time. But he was an eternal being. So to maintain himself in this realm of bound by space and time, he had to eat fruit which maintained his immortality. Isn't that what we're doing right now?
Amen.
Come on, get it?
Amen.
Isn't that what we're doing now? We're eating fruit to maintain our immortality.
Amen.
So when we choose to start eating other fruit, what happens? It begins to die.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's more of this. So we see that because they were removed from the access of the tree of life, they resulted in what? Death. They no longer could eat the tree of life anymore. It was over with. Done. Sin had removed them from eating of the tree of life. Their eternal purpose was now ended. Of course, they lived a long time, didn't they? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2. Yes, we know that the wages of sin is death. Why is the wages of sin of death? Because it prevents you from eating from the tree of life. First Peter chapter 2. That's why the Lord says, come out from among them and be what? Separated. And don't what? Touch anything unclean. What does he mean by touch? Eat. Hello? Eat. What does it do? It produces garbage fruit. Man, you know when people pick up stuff. Ooh, their fruit tells. You know when they just, you know, sometimes they just ate some wrong fertilizer. They drank from the wrong cistern. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For to this you were what? Called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. That's the first psalm, isn't it? Who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. So when he was said, you such and such, he didn't say, yeah, well, you didn't do this. And when we're corrected, we don't try to correct someone else right back to justify our own correction. Hello. It's okay, those toes will heal. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in what? Return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Man, that's it, I'm going to kick your blessed assurance. You can't tell me what to do. Oh, that's wonderful fruit for the devil. But committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the what?
Tree.
Oh, hallelujah. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So, you see again that a tree was used, wasn't it? It's symbolic. Why? Because Jesus was known as the tree of life. Amen. So he had to go on a tree so he could take all the sins of man to make the exchange for them to become trees of life. Amen. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. And what else did he do? He came and died on the tree, taking our corrupt nature for a what? Divine nature. Restoring access to the tree of life. Leading to immortality, the only way. Hello? Go to Romans 11. Oh, thank you, Daddy. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Romans 11. Verse 17. Praise be to God. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports You.
Amen.
You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but toward you goodness, what? If you continue in his goodness. Otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Hallelujah. That's blessing of the Lord. Grafted into the olive tree represents the anointed tree, which means the anointing. Who's the anointed one? Jesus, right? Go to John 14. The Lord reigns. John 14. All the blood of Jesus. See, so truly, again, we talk about the world is looking at you, me and you.
Amen.
The world is looking at us. This divine nature is known as the tree of life. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tree of life in me and you. Amen. And John 14. Oh, praise be to God. Start at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be, maybe, maybe, maybe also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Oh, hallelujah. I love that one. Praise God. So we know that Jesus is now the tree of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the manifestation of God Almighty coming into the flesh, right? Go to John 15 while we're here. He also says in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every what? Branch in me that does not bear fruit, he what? He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he what? Prunes, that it what? May bear more fruit. That's called your trials and tribulations. That's called your reaping. That's called your storms. That's called your wants that you haven't got yet. What's he trying to do? Remove your wants and replace it with trust. Mm. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it what? Abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in other words, my truth abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. And the reason why you're going to ask what you desire is because it's not your desire, it's his. Because you're abiding in him and there's been exchange of heart now. Now you have the heart of Christ. So you know what he desires. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Disciples are trees of life. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. So pruning our trials, right? You know, when the storm comes, it exposes ourselves, right? Where are we? Remember, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to expose Himself. He was tempted by the devil, right? Your storms are going to expose you. They're going to expose us. So the pruning is for us to bear more fruit, isn't it? Listen, like I said before, God is more interested in your eternal position than your temporary position. Amen? One of the things that exposure does is bring repentance. It brings a deeper, stronger root. When God exposes ourselves, it brings repentance and brings a deeper, stronger root. Of course, it bears much more fruit. Go to James 1. So does everybody understand that your storms are actually really working for you, not against you? Oh, if we could hold on to that. I mean, you know, James chapter 1, if we could hold on, our storms are actually working for us, not against us. Amen. Come on, everybody say it. My storm, is working for me, not against me. Hallelujah. Wait till you get in a storm, as soon as you leave, we'll see what happens. Remember, it's working for me. It's working for me. James chapter 1. In verse 2, my brethren, count it all what?
Joy.
Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because your storms are working for you. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various storms or trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, or what it produces, endurance. That's what the word patience means here. Someone that's going to be able to endure the storm. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what?
Nothing.
In other words, you've got everything you need. You come into a position where you don't want, for selfish reasons and so forth. Amen? So we're to count it all joy. As you grow, doesn't a tree grow? I mean, how many storms does a tree go through? How many times does a tree get hit by a car, man? I mean, think about just things kids writing their initials in it. I mean, it goes through a lot of stuff. A lot of storms and winter and whatever, you know. People hanging on trees, building tree houses. I mean, there's a lot of things that a tree can go through, you know. And it just keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Doesn't it? As it's growing. Its roots are actually going deeper and deeper to support its strength and its growth. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 104. Hallelujah. Psalm 104, verse 14. It says that He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that He may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of what?
Sap.
Well, we should be full of sap. That's God's presence. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which He planted, where the birds make their nests. Now please don't go out and buy bird hats and stuff like that, you know. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are the wild goats. The cliffs are refuge for the rock badgers. You know, even though that we're trees, we're trees of life that can actually provide shade for someone. Do you understand that? We can provide shade. We can provide food for someone. We can provide paper for someone in language that we speak to them. Do you understand? Think about this. And from, you know, begin to look at this in the spiritual realm, looking at a parallel in the spiritual realm of a tree of life. You know, we're trees of life. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. So remember that eating of the true tree of life, who is Christ, is what allows our immortality. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In verse 7 it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, from which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Woohoo! So we need to what? Overcome, don't we? We need to overcome those storms. We need to allow those storms to work for us and not against us. Amen? Go to John 6. Verse 53. Would you read it with me? "Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you." Wow. Now He's just, you know, I know that we take the bread and the juice and so forth, that is symbolic. But He's talking about, again, the Spirit and the Word. Amen. The Spirit and the Word. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Everybody got it? Hallelujah. So we're still in that arena of eating. So as you and I are eating, right? We're eating of the tree of life. We become trees of life because righteousness is a tree of life. It's a fruit of the tree of life, isn't it? So people are eating our fruit, and the seed of Christ is falling into them just by eating our fruit. Go to Revelation 22. Oh, hallelujah. So if your fruit stinks, you need to start eating the right stuff. That's why we're to examine ourselves, right?
Amen.
Revelation 22, start at verse 1 and 2. Would you read it with me? "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its streets, and on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation." So, listen, we're going to still be eating of this fruit. Because even during the millennium, people are going to still die that are not born again. See, because the age of grace has ceased. So there's going to be generations of families that are going to still be living in the natural realm, in the flesh, But you and I, we have glorified bodies. And what's going to maintain us in this glorified state is by eating the tree of life, the fruit of the tree of life, so that we can maintain in this realm bound by space and time. Because death has not been swallowed up yet. Does everybody understand that? Death is not swallowed up to the last fire. And that's when the earth burns up and everything else. That's when it's over with. That's when it's all swallowed up at the end of the millennium. Okay? So during this period of time, you and I are still going to have to eat of the tree of life. We'll eat fruit of the tree of life. And if anybody's ever heard Jesse Duplantis' testimony about him getting taken to heaven, you'll understand that he was very weak in his state, and the angel brought him to the tree of life, didn't he? And there was trees of life. They were bearing fruits, weren't they? Okay, and he'd bring it to him. Go to verse 14. And it says, blessed are those who do His, what? Commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates in the city. But outside are what? Dogs, and sorcerers, and sexual immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Wow. People don't understand that lying is the number one open door to demonic activity in us. Once you've lied, you need to quickly repent. Lying is protecting flesh. Lying protects flesh. Amen? So immortality during the millennium is going to be sustained by eating of the tree of life, isn't it? And we know that the tree of life will be Christ. Amen? And we'll be eating of those fruits. Amen? Go to Isaiah 65 and we'll close here. Hallelujah. Isaiah 65. So what you eat is what you become. That's right. Your fruits will tell what you eat. So when somebody gets real flushed out, ask them what they ate that day. Man, what spiritual food did you eat today? Deception bar. That's right, demonic pizza. Hallelujah. In verse, let's see here, 20. Hallelujah. Well, let's start at 17, okay? Praise God. I haven't seen Pastor Scott use his eraser yet, so. For behold, I created new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Isn't that powerful? You won't remember all this garbage you went through. Why? Because it's all a part of what you're doing right now is a preparation where you're going to be positioned eternally. You're not going to remember how you got prepared for it, but you're going to be there. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I'll rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor shall the voice of crying. We won't even understand what burdens and worries and fears are. We won't be able to comprehend it then. That's what the Lord was explaining to me today when it was just overwhelming me. He said, you know, there's just certain things that you're not going to understand right now and that you're not going to comprehend, but you're just going to have to trust me. Because when you reach this other state, none of this has anything to do. There will never be another weeping. You know, and we think right now, well, what about my family who I love? Man, you won't care. You won't care. You'll be in such glory that nothing matters. Nothing matters. You know? Oh, hallelujah. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Now, you got to understand what he's talking about. He's not talking about eternal. Amen? There's a mixture here. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. Well, that's longer than 100 years, isn't it? Amen. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Oh, hallelujah. So, what are you? You're a tree of life, aren't you? Bearing fruit. Righteous fruit is a tree of life. Why? Because when someone eats your fruit, they become a tree of life. Righteous fruit is a tree of life. So remember, what you eat is really important. Don't get sucked up. Stay caught up and keep digging. Don't let your eyes go anywhere else. Don't not allow your storms to move you. Remember, they're working for you, not against you. Amen?
Amen.
To God be the glory. And everybody said,
Amen.
Hallelujah.